Well, good morning, Harmony. This is Pastor Stephen Baker, and welcome to the online edition of our Sunday morning service. Today, we'll be continuing our study of Genesis with the first part of chapter 35 in a sermon entitled Back to Bethel. And we'll begin with prayer request. And we want to pray for all of our shut-ins. We want to pray for Miss Lois and Joe, and we want to pray for Miss Virginia, and we want to pray for Miss Dot, and we want to pray for those who are sick right now. Steve and Cindy have been sick, and we want to pray for all those who have been experiencing sickness, all those who are experiencing pain. We want to pray for John and Carolyn, and we want to pray for just a lot of folks in the church and a lot of folks that they care about and love that have been experiencing sickness and pain. We also want to pray for all those who are researching and trying to find a cure for the coronavirus. And we have seen cases increasing, and so we want to pray for the medical community and for all those, and I have preacher friends that have had it and missionaries that I know that have had it and are recovering from it, and we praise God for that. But we need to pray for everyone that is trying to find a cure and trying to fight it and that is that has it and is trying to recover from it. We also want to pray for our country. On this Independence Day weekend, we want to pray for the United States of America, and we've been having a lot of civil unrest and other things going on, and so we want to pray for peace, and we want to pray for unity, and we just want to pray for reconciliation and the rule of law and all those different things. And so we want to continue to pray for our country and our community as well. And then we want to pray for all our listeners around the world and wherever you are and the country that you're living in. We want to pray for you, and we want to pray for the work of Christ in that, in the place where you live. And so let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house this morning and in this online service. We do pray for all of our members, all our shut-ins, all those who are sick. We pray for healing. We also want to pray for folks listening around the world. We want to pray for everyone that is hurting and suffering because of coronavirus and other things. We want to pray for healing and for the medical community. And we want to pray for the United States, particularly on this Independence Day weekend, and we want to pray for peace in our country, and we want to pray for unity, and we want to pray that this time of unrest would be a time when the gospel would go forth powerfully and people would learn how to be saved by faith in Jesus Christ. We also pray for the service. I pray you'd forgive me for my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to preach today. We ask it in Jesus' name, the name above every name. Amen. So the first point we want to look at today is the command to go to Bethel. The command to go to Bethel. The Bible says, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother." So it appears that God's original intent was for Jacob to move his family to Bethel. In Genesis 31:13, God said to Jacob, "I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land," and this land was referring to the land where he was in at the time with his father-in-law, Laban. And God wanted him to leave there, and God says, return unto the land of thy kindred. Now, God, in that verse, Genesis 31:13, does not specifically tell Jacob to go to Bethel, but he does remind him that he is the God of it, and that he had spoken to him there. And so it's very likely that when Jacob returned, that he was supposed to go back to Bethel. But he didn't. Bethel means house of God. So here in Genesis 35:1, we see God specifically command Jacob to take his family and go to Bethel. And God says to him, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. Of course, Bethel is the place where God first appears to Jacob as he's fleeing from Esau, and where he sees the famous Jacob's ladder. And he sees angels ascending and descending on this ladder, and God speaks to him and confirms his promises to him. And so it was a very important place and a sacred place. And again, the name means house of God. So this is where God wants him to go. Now, the second thing we see is the preparation to go to Bethel. The Word of God says in verse 2 of Genesis 35, then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that were among you, and be clean, and change your garments. So Jacob commanded his house to get right with God. You know, revival doesn't begin in the church. It begins in your home. Your home. Not somebody else's, but yours. They had idols, strange gods, and so do we. We have our own idols, and we need to get rid of them and come to God in repentance. And these were some very specific commands. These were some very specific commands that God gave to Jacob. He says, number one, put away the strange gods that are among you. And then he says, be clean. And thirdly, he says, change your clothes. Now, the first command we'll look at, and he says, put away the strange gods that are among you. You know, Brother Johnny Coffey just preached for our Saturday night Bible study, and he preached on the strange woman from Proverbs chapter 5. And, of course, the strange woman is a woman that's not familiar to you. It's the woman that's not your wife. And so she's strange to you. And the strange gods are the gods that are foreign to you, that are not familiar to you, that are not the God of Israel, the God of Jacob, and the God of Abraham and Isaac. And so he's saying, put away the strange gods. Now, if you'll remember, Rachel took some of her father's household gods with her when she left home with her husband. And their servants may have worshipped idols. And they had taken many people captive just recently after the slaughter at Shechem in the previous chapter. So these Canaanite people would have worshipped idols. And idolatry and superstitious occult practices were not unusual to these people. Remember, Rachel's father claimed he had the power of divination in Genesis 30:27. And he probably used his idols for this purpose. Anything connected with idolatry, they were to put away. Put away the strange gods that are among you. And secondly, he says, be clean. Be clean. Jacob's sons had shed blood at Shechem. They were to wash and be clean, both physically and spiritually and morally. In the law of Moses later on, a physical washing was symbolic of spiritual cleansing, and it probably was here as well. By the way, it's still a good idea to take a bath before you go to the house of God. It's a good idea to be clean, both physically and spiritually. And, of course, Jacob and his family were going to Bethel, which means the house of God. So they were to be clean. So they were to put away the strange gods, they were to be clean, and thirdly, they were to change their clothes. Change your clothes was the command. Clothes were a symbol of purity. And even today, we associate certain kinds of clothes with sinful lifestyles. We might say, for instance, that a girl is dressed immorally or inappropriately, and we would associate the clothes she's wearing with a certain sinful lifestyle. And so, in this case, they were going to meet with God at Bethel. Jacob's sons had killed a number of people, and the captive Shechemites among them worshipped idols. And so they were defiled, and they needed to put on clean, fresh clothes. Change your clothes was the command of God. Change your clothes before you go to the house of God. You know, my grandmother used to say, everyone can't wear nice or expensive clothes, but everyone can be clean. And for the most part, that's true. For the most part, people have the opportunity to clean up, and you ought to be clean when you go to the house of God. Not everybody has a suit and tie. Not everybody wants to wear a suit and tie to church. Not everybody has a nice dress to wear, but everybody can be clean. And so, change your clothes. And this is very good advice. All this advice that was given to Jacob about going to Bethel, the house of God, is good advice for us about going to the church, the house of God. Put away the strange gods that are among you. Get rid of idols in your life. Be clean. Be clean. You know, be pure inside and out. Now, I'll tell you, a lot of people go to church just on that first point, and boy, this would make a great out-of-context sermon. But I'm just gonna dwell on this. This thought just occurred to me. Put away the strange gods that are among you. You know, a lot of people go to church and have their phones out all through church. And while the preacher's trying to preach, they're playing games on their phones and looking at Facebook and doing all kinds of things on their phone. And it's a good idea to put that up. Put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean. Be clean inside and out. Confess your sins. Get right with God. And then change your clothes. Put on some clean, appropriate clothes for church. And that doesn't mean a suit and tie. And that doesn't mean a fancy dress. It just means clean, appropriate clothes for church. If you don't have certain clothes, then put on whatever you've got that's clean and that's appropriate. And then in verse 3, Jacob says to his household, "Let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went." So Jacob is going back to Bethel, and he's going to build an altar in obedience to the command of God. Remember, he built an altar at Shechem, but disaster had struck there with his daughter Dinah getting raped and her brothers going all redneck on the city and killing all the men. I think that Jacob was just spiritually inept sometimes, just like we are. God commanded him to leave Laban and take his family and return to his own country. And God reminded him that he had blessed him and spoken to him at Bethel. But Jacob doesn't go to Bethel. Instead, he moves to a nice area with plenty of shops and potential for trade and commerce. He tries to worship God there, but God wants him at Bethel. And now he's going. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. So they do what Jacob says. They give him all the foreign gods and their earrings as well, which probably had some connection to idolatry. Jacob hides them, not so that he can come back and get them, but so that they won't be a stumbling block to anyone else. He got rid of them and left them near the city where most of the idolatrous worship had taken place. It's best when we mess up, and we will mess up. Everybody's going to mess up, but it's best when we mess up to leave the past in the past. The Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and looking forward to those things which are before, I press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so that's what we need to do. We need to forget the past, dismiss the past. And so Jacob buried the idols at Shechem, which was an idolatrous city, and he moved on, and he goes to the house of God. Jacob had messed up going to Shechem, but now he's leaving the past in the past, and he's heading back to Bethel. And that leads us to the third thing we see, and that is the journey to Bethel. And they journeyed. And the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So God blessed Jacob and his people with safety as they traveled. I imagine that the story had spread about Jacob's sons slaughtering the men of Shechem, but this was more than just natural fear. This was the fear of God. You'll remember that in the previous chapter, when Jacob learned that his sons had done this, that he was scared to death that the inhabitants of the country, he said, you've made my name to stink among the inhabitants of the land. And he was scared to death that they were going to come after him and kill him and his wives and children. And they may have, except that this was more than a natural fear. This was the fear of God. When we're in God's will, nothing can harm us unless God permits it. Jacob had a safe passage to Bethel. It's interesting, too, that he'd gotten out of God's will by going to Shechem, but that the moment he turns and goes to Bethel, God is blessing him, and God is giving him safe passage. And that's a wonderful thing. The will of God is often filled with opposition. But there are wonderful times in the will of God where you start moving forward in God's will, in obedience to God, and it's like automatic doors are opening. And it's like the way is just being completely cleared, and you go forward. It doesn't mean that it's not hard. It doesn't mean that it doesn't take work, because it will take work and it will be hard, but God will open the doors and clear the path for you to do what He's called you to do. So Jacob has safe passage to Bethel. Now the fourth thing we see is back at Bethel. Jacob and his family arrive at Bethel and he's back. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan. That is Bethel. He and all the people that were with him. So Luz means almond tree, but Bethel means house of God. Luz was the Canaanite name of the town, but Bethel was Jacob's name for it, the Hebrew name. So Jacob and all his people come to the house of God. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. So Jacob builds an altar as God commanded, and he calls the place El Bethel, which means the God of the house of God. Jacob is not just returning to God's house, but he is returning to God himself. Sometimes the solution to our problems is returning to the place God wants us to go. Always it is returning to God. By the way, if you're distant from God and from what you once were, the solution may not be the same as it was when you were younger. God may want to do a new and different work in your life, but the solution is always returning to God, back to the God of Bethel. Now, the fifth thing we are going to look at is the death of Deborah. And the Bible says, "But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak. And the name of it was called Alon Bahuth." You know, times of blessing and spiritual awakening are often accompanied by times of both joy and sorrow. This dear servant of the family who had been Jacob's mother's nurse was now dead. Death is a great equalizer. All of us are united in the fact that we will die if the Lord doesn't return first. So they bury her under an oak tree, which they call the Oak of Mourning, as a memorial to her. She was like a member of the family. So they call this oak tree the name, which means the oak of mourning or the oak of weeping. And it was a memorial to this important woman. And the Bible says, "And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan-Aram and blessed him." So now that Jacob is in the right place and focused on God rather than himself, God appears to him again and repeats the blessing. "And God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel." So Jacob's name had been changed when he wrestled all night with the angel, and it had been changed to Israel. But now God reconfirms this name change. Names were significant in ancient cultures. And God changes his name to Israel, which means one who struggles with God and prevails. Because the angel said, or probably a pre-incarnate Christ said, "As a prince, thou hast power with God and with men and hast prevailed." "And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins." So God not only confirms Jacob's name change, but he also reconfirms the blessings of Abraham. God uses his famous name, El Shaddai, which speaks of his power. This name was also revealed to Abraham in Genesis 17. So God says, "I am the powerful God. I am God Almighty." And he says that kings shall come out of Jacob. And of course, the most famous of these kings is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. And I think this is just wonderful. Here's Jacob. He has, he's been fearful of meeting his brother Esau. And he finally meets Esau and everything's okay. And he journeys to this city, and his daughter gets raped, and his sons kill all the men in the city, and he's scared to death that he's going to be killed and that his family's going to be slaughtered, and retribution's going to take place. And he's at a very weak place in his life, a weak place. And God says, "Go back to Bethel. Go to Bethel." And so he goes to the house of God, and God again speaks to him, and God tells him while he's in this weak place, after everything that's just happened, God tells him, "I'm God Almighty. I'm the all-powerful God. I'm with you. I'm going to bless you. You're going to be multiplied, and you're going to be a nation, and a company of nations are going to come out of you, and kings shall come out of you." And so God gives him this wonderful blessing and this wonderful promise and assures him of his power and reveals himself to him as El Shaddai. And he reveals himself this way when Jacob needed to hear that. And God often speaks to us a word of comfort and a word of power when we need to hear it the most. I remember when the Bible tells the story of John the Baptist, and in prison, in Herod's dungeon, and he was doubting who Jesus was. And he was just at a low point in his life. He was depressed. And so he sends his disciples to Jesus and says, "Ask him, are you the one? Or should we look for another?" And the disciples come to Jesus, and Jesus tells the people in front of the disciples, and I'm sure he wanted it to get back to John, so he tells the people what a wonderful person John the Baptist is. He told the people what a great man John the Baptist was, and then he said, "Tell John that the dead are raised and the lame are made to walk. Tell him about the miracles. Tell him about what you've seen, and tell him, blessed are they that aren't offended in me." And they went back to John the Baptist, and I'm sure that they told him, and he believed, and it was an encouragement to him. So God knows how to give us a word when we need to hear it. And many times I've been discouraged, and I've sat in church, and God's given me just the word that I needed to hear that encouraged me at that time. And if you're not getting that, put yourself under some preaching that will give you that. So God said unto him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it. And to thy seed after thee will I give the land." So the land promise is again confirmed. The nation of Israel and the surrounding lands belong to the Jewish people by God's covenant. This covenant is ancient, but the land belongs to the Jews. And it doesn't belong to anybody else. And there's dispute about it today, with people saying, "Oh, Jerusalem belongs to the Muslims," or "Jerusalem belongs to this group or that group." But no, the covenant is ancient, and God gave the land. Almighty God gave the land to the Jews. And that was the promise that was made. And they've never really had all the land that God promised them. They won't have it until the millennium, when Christ sets up his kingdom here on earth for 1,000 years, and then the saved Jews will actually possess all the land that they're supposed to possess. But this is a land promise. It was given to Abraham and to Isaac, and now it's repeated to Jacob. "And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him." Now, there's some different opinions on what this means. God appeared in some visible form, and perhaps it was God's glory appearing as a light, as it did later on in the tabernacle, the Shekinah glory of God, and it goes up in the air. Or perhaps Jacob had been speaking with a pre-incarnate Christ in the form of a human who now ascends up in the air. But regardless, God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. So he sets up this stone memorial, and he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And the Life Application Study Bible says this oil used to anoint the pillar was olive oil of the finest grade of purity. It was expensive, so using it showed the high value placed on the anointed object. Jacob was showing the greatest respect for the place where he had met with God. The Bible says, "And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him Bethel." Just as God reconfirms Jacob's name, Israel, Jacob reconfirms the town's name as Bethel, the house of God. Anywhere where God speaks to you is important. If God spoke to you through a particular Bible verse or event, that's important. Don't forget it. Don't leave God's house, but stay in the church and stick with the God of the house of God. Being in God's will is not difficult. If you'll just stay with God on a daily basis, Stay in the Word. Stay in church. He will guide you. Sometimes young preachers will sit in church and look for a church to pastor or a place to preach. And they'll say, pray for me that God will open a door. And yet, they won't preach in children's church, in their own church, and they won't teach a Sunday school class. And one of the things, when I was called to preach, actually before I even knew I was called to preach, and I just had a desire to preach, I asked if I could teach the children in children's church, and I taught in Vacation Bible School. And I went on a Rock of Ages prison revival to a prison in Dumas, Arkansas, with Brother Steve Gregory, and I preached my first official message in prison. And so, in Dumas, Arkansas, of all places. And so, if you're called to preach or you have a desire to preach, which is really what a call is, then go ahead and find a place to preach. Preach in the nursing home. Preach to children. Somebody says, I would not teach children. I am gifted to teach adults, and I must teach adults, and the pastor won't let me teach the adults. Well, I'll tell you that if you're unwilling to teach little children, which Jesus Christ himself said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, and Jesus taught little children. So if you are too good to teach little children and you have to teach adults, then you're probably not good enough to teach adults. You see, someone who can't do well with children probably can't do well with adults either, because it takes a lot of work to hold children's attention. And one of the best things, I heard a pastor one time say that the way he trains all his preachers, all his young preachers, is he puts them in children's church, in junior church. And if they can do well in junior church, then he moves them up to the teenagers, and then he moves them on up to adults. But if you can't hold a child's attention, you can't hold an adult's attention. And so if there aren't any open doors, then stay where you're at. And there's plenty of open doors in the church, because believe me, the pastor is looking for people to labor. He's looking for people to go on visitation. He's looking for people to teach. He's looking for people to work. And the Vacation Bible School is always looking for people. They will take almost anybody that can pass a background check. So the doors, sometimes you have to open doors. And you can do that by simply volunteering and telling your pastor, hey, I'd like to work in the church. And your pastor will be so happy and overjoyed that he will give you something to do. And then God will open a bigger room. My pastor always used to say, sweep the room you're in, and God will give you a bigger room. And he does. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him Bethel. If God has spoken to you in a particular place, and more importantly, through the Bible in some way, then go back to it. Go back to it and let God speak to you again. More important than going to the house of God is going to the God of the house of God. Not just Bethel, but El Bethel, the God of the house of God. Go to him. Get in the Word. Get yourself in church. Be faithful, and God will use you in ways that you can't even imagine. The Bible says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And this is the conclusion of our message. Heavenly Father, I thank you for those who have listened. I thank you for those who have a desire to serve you and a heart to serve you, and I pray you'd open doors. I pray that you would give us people to witness to and share the gospel with this week. I pray that we would walk through that door and share the good news of Jesus Christ. I pray that you would just guide us and help us and reveal your will to us as we stay daily in the Word of God and in prayer and in the house of God. We thank you for the church. We thank you for the opportunity we have to assemble and worship. We do pray for churches that aren't able to meet right now, that you would allow them to be able to meet again soon. We ask it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. Well, thank you for listening. We hope you have a great rest of the week. To our audience in the United States, happy 4th of July weekend and happy Independence Day. And just hope you have a great week. Join us on Wednesday night for the midweek Bible study as we continue in the book of Philippians.